Hello, thanks for tuning in to episode 4 of the Wilkes-Barre Connect podcast, a series that brings you local entrepreneurs, young professionals, and students that are leaving their mark on Northeastern Pennsylvania.
We're hosts Nick and Singa
and Mariah Curtis.
Our guests for episode 4 are Ryan Hertel, the owner of Social Loca, Tara Siegel, Vice President of Marketing at Lewith & Freeman, and then we have Ms. Recordia, Business Administration and Marketing student Eddie OKK. The Wilkes-Barre Connect podcast is brought to you by Pepper Jam. Headquartered in downtown Wilkes-Barre, Pepper Jam is a performance marketing solutions provider, redefining its category through innovative technology and service expertise. For more information, check them out at pepperjam.com. We are joined now by Tara Siegel, the Vice President of Marketing at Lewith & Freeman Real Estate. You seem to be quite the marketing genius. You were nominated for a Shorty Award in Why are you laughing?
I laughed at that part, too.
That's good. No, sorry. I totally am. Ask anyone who knows me.
You were nominated for a Shorty Award in 2014, and you're currently the Vice President of Marketing at Lewith & Freeman. With your experience in digital marketing, how has the growth of social media affected modern-day marketing?
Good question. So for me, social media marketing is just a representation of regular marketing, right? I think the targeting is a lot more specific, which I love, both at Lewith & Freeman and in my previous roles. The specific targeting is really fun, but it's just another way to reach people, right? So it's just another medium that I have obviously really enjoyed. It's where my career kind of took off, started in search marketing. Which was keyword-based. If you're not familiar with search, you type keywords into Google and I can target
SEO.
You based on them. Sure, SEO or paid, either way. And then when social came around, I got really excited about the idea of intent-driven marketing, right? So instead of waiting for someone to type it in, I could find them before they knew they needed it. So that's super fun, right? But that's what marketing has always been.
So how does that work, the intent? Like, how do you know?
So we build personas based on people's social profiles, and then target them based on the persona they fit into. So if somebody is buying migraine medicine, we know that they get headaches. If somebody is buying diapers, we know that they are a parent. If somebody is interested in podcasts, we know they're super cool. I don't know. There's all kinds
definitely,
of...
that's how it works.
That's exactly how it works. So the targeting for our clients at Pepper Jam worked really well on social, and with Lewith & Freeman, it's similar. Now with housing, there's a lot of rules of what we can and can't assume about people for the Fair Housing Act, which is unfortunate because if you're selling clothes, there's no rules. I can target people however I want and retarget them. But with housing, financial institutions, basically anything where there's big decisions being made, there are some rules that we have to follow.
That's no fun.
Totally.
So you were featured in the Connect 15 series, which highlights some of the amazing entrepreneurs, students, and young professionals in NEPA. You stated that the launch of the new Lewith & Freeman website was one of the projects you were most proud of. Can you tell us how that experience helped you grow in your professional career?
Absolutely. So with real estate, there's a lot of websites available to look for houses or apartments. And locally, Lewith & Freeman has always been really innovative and willing to take risks. So we took a pretty big risk and completely redesigned the website with user experience in mind. So our website is super fast, and my background's not in web design, right? Nor am I in IT. So I had to learn a lot really quickly for that project to work. And we're finding it's working really well from an SEO perspective. If you type in an MLS number locally, which is how houses are identified in the internal realtor system, we rank number one. So if you type in MLS, fill in a number here, Lewith & Freeman is able to beat Zillow, Realtor, et cetera. It's a really big deal, right? So I was really excited about that. And that's why it was a big undertaking, because it's something I had never fully done before.
Right. And now you can put it on your resume, like designed a whole website.
That's exactly it. Well, yeah, with some does it help the vendors? With some help, lots of help. But yeah, it's been really good.
In a recent interview, you gave advice to students to just face the fear and figure it out. How has this advice helped shape you as an individual?
Sure. So it's my favorite bit of advice that somebody gave me when I was new to the professional world. So I give it to students. I used to give it to my interns all the time because I think people typically think that there's some magical right way to do things. And well, this person knows what they're doing. And the truth is, all of us are just figuring it out. It doesn't matter what your position is. It doesn't matter what company you're with. When I was at Pepper Jam, I was lucky to work with some really, really big brands and some president, vice president, CEOs of very big name brands. And you would go to these meetings and realize they are just doing the same
figuring it out.
Now, they had experience, and the experience helps you be able to face the fear and figure it out because they've been through something similar. But the website's a great example. I knew what I wanted it to be. I knew that from an SEO perspective, from a search perspective, what I wanted it to be. But I knew that site speed was important, but I didn't necessarily know how to get there, right?
Right.
So I, you know, looked things up the same way anyone else could. And I found vendors and researched them as best as I could. And then you just have to take a leap. So I feel like sometimes with students, it's really easy to think that there's like some magical way, some path that's going to emerge and you'll find your way, when really I think it's just one decision after the next.
Right. Just jump into it and you're gonna find it out.
Yeah, just work really hard and do your best and then it works out.
Absolutely. Trial and error.
Yeah, hopefully.
Your best thing is, well, if you fail, then you learn. And hopefully you do.
And just surround yourself with people who feel that way.
Absolutely.
And then you win. Like, as long as you're able to learn and find people who are going to help you with that, you just have to face it. It's like, it's, everyone's scared. But
all you professionals just make it look so easy. Like, you woke up one day. Fake it till you make it.
That's like my motto. Just fake it till you make it.
Yeah. And like, know that that's all anybody's doing. Mm-hmm. And if you find someone who's done it, like, ask them. People love talking about themselves. Obviously. Here I am to prove it. Oh my god, I think I'm a podcast star.
Yeah. I think you are too.
Oh my god.
How about I'll just leave and you can be the new host.
No, we'll get a fourth mic and that's it. That's perfect. Tara, Mariah, Nick show.
It does have a ring to it.
So we are going to take you back to 2010.
Yikes.
So all marketing.
It was a horrible year.
It was like pre-Facebook ads.
Yeah.
No, there were ads. It's just nobody was doing them.
Yeah, probably. 2010. Yeah, that was...
Man, 9 years ago. I just signed up with Facebook.
Signed up in 2006.
I probably, it was probably 2008 when I got my Facebook.
Wow.
Yeah, probably 2008.
Okay.
but anyway, so all marketing aside, you are an entrepreneur at heart. You owned and operated Terra Luz Cafe.
I did.
Which served healthy options made with locally grown produce. Can you tell us what you learned from your experience as a business owner?
Sure. Well, first of all, everyone told me not to do that. Like, everyone.
No one had faith in you at all?
Well, with good reason. I had no business doing that. What I learned, well, first of all, you have to follow it when you can. I didn't have any children at the time. I now have three little kids. There's no way I could follow that path now. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have worked out. Now I need health insurance.
Yeah.
Didn't need it
then.
True
story.
I was a young little child. So take the risks when... Oh, I almost just said Obamacare. That's not what it's called anymore.
No.
Take the risks. Oh, it's definitely not.
No, it's not Trump.
Take the risks while you can is what I'm trying to say here. I always knew I wanted to have a restaurant. I'm from a foodie family. My sister is in the industry. I have another sister who's a private chef. We're a family of foodies. So I always knew I wanted to do it. The timing was right. The opportunity arose. I quit my job at Aramark, which is a food service company. So I had one foot in and just jumped for it. It was just the timing was perfect. My fiance, now my husband, was very supportive and understanding. Like I said, I didn't have children, so I didn't have quite as many responsibilities. And I loved it. Loved it. That said, I learned so much about business. Like, you have to do more than love it. You also have to make money. So I didn't do any of that at the time.
Oh, no.
I just loved it. But I learned a ton about running a business, you know, keeping your inventory and customer service and so much. I always say in any line of work, if you can hire somebody who's been in food service, you should, because they've had to deal with the public in a way that most people don't know. So this was that times 100. So I loved it. I'm really proud of it. It was like a year of my life, but I couldn't do it again.
Well, having more experience now in marketing, would you have changed anything, like location-wise or...
Yeah.
So inside a YMCA wasn't the best place to put
it. So it seemed like a good idea. In hindsight, it was a good idea. If I could change anything about it, I would have done... My initial plan was to do something different, and I didn't follow that through. I made my plan fit the space instead of making the space fit my plan. But yeah, being inside the Y was tough. You were dependent on their traffic. That said, I was at the YMCA today at a spin class, and afterwards I was so hungry. And I was like, I wish someone else would open up that spot.
Right.
Because it was kind of great that you could just go and grab a salad. I mean, it was really fun. But it's just a tough industry. And I wish everyone in it a ton of luck.
Well, thanks again, Tara, for stopping by and chatting with us at the Think Center and sharing your insight on marketing.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
With us now is owner and creative director of Social Loca, Ryan Hertel. Welcome, Ryan. We are so glad that you stopped by the Think Center.
Yeah, thank you for having me down here. This is going to be fun.
Yes, it is. So, Ryan, we're just going to go right into it. What was the aha moment that inspired you to start your own business in 2017?
Oh, boy. I don't know. I mean, number one, ironically, I think I'm crazy to have even started a business. That's what I've debunked. But when I thought that I wasn't crazy to get into this and make a commitment, it really wasn't even much of an aha moment, to be honest. It was like, I kind of wish it was. I wish it was awesome, you know, like this big revelation. But it was just that I was pursuing a DJ career for so long, and it worked out, and it probably could have, but it was just something that was not as natural for me as the whole marketing and just being, you know, kind of a creative director deal was. And I always wanted to have the freedom of running my own business. And this was just something that naturally kind of worked. So instead of an aha moment, I just kind of woke up one day and someone said, send me an invoice for that. And I said, well, geez, I guess I need to LLC some company. and that was it. And I knew I liked the name Social Loca. And I had always thought about growing it. But really, it just kind of became something that, you know, took over what I've been doing, and all the offshoot, you know, subscription-based businesses and software companies under it. It just kind of took off, and I've just kind of embraced it and just run with it more so. So not really a single moment, but just a collection of events. And then finally you look back and you go, well, I guess we're doing this now. And that's really all it was.
This is official.
Yeah, that was it.
So you said that you like the name Social Loca. So where did you come across that?
I was driving home and I called my girlfriend at the time and I said, hey, I have a great name for a creative agency. I remember this. Like, I remember it perfectly. I got out of my car and I just knew it was a great idea. And I called her and I'm like, hey, like, I should someday start an agency called Social Loca. And I had no idea. This was years and years ago. And she said, that's not a real word, Ryan. I don't think you So I said, no, that's the whole point. And I told a bunch of people. They all laughed and said it either sounded cool or dumb or didn't pronounce it correctly at all. But that was kind of the fun in it for me. I think I'm trying to, you know, I can create whatever I want out of it now, which is fun. You know, taking something that had no meaning and giving it, you know, some type of shape and structure and idea behind it all. That's what I love doing with it the most right now.
Right. Where did the whole like tropical theme come from? Were you like a fan of the beaches and everything?
No, you know what? It was because when I was looking into creative agencies, this is 2013, 2012, you know, way before I even, you know, started this 2 years ago, but just thinking about the idea. And I'm this young, dumb kid at the time still. And I'm looking into creative agencies. And my biggest gripe was they were all just so just boring. Like black and white, boring names. I didn't want to be another like expert marketing company one, you know, number one based out of, you know, wherever, or, you know, just, you know, marketing agency, XO, whatever it was. It was just all generic names and it was boring. There was no like life to it. And I thought, why would any business want to go with a company that didn't have this just outrageous loud personality? Because how would they ever, you know, do that for their own business? So, you know, it's definitely a pro and a con at the same time. Some people do want that professionalism and that straightforwardness and, you know, that black and white sleek feel, but that's just not me. So I just, you know, that's it. There was no point of trying to do something I wasn't the backing personality of. Like, this is just inherently more me to be loud and vibrant, colorful. So that's where the whole brand came from overall. Nice.
You know, it stands out. People are going to remember that toucan.
Yeah, that's what people say. Yeah, the little cute little animals. And that's what people say. They're like, why is there a frog and a bird? I'm like, it's a toucan.
Yeah.
It's a toucan. They're like, what's the parrot doing? Its beak is, you know, bigger than the rest of it. It's a toucan. No, it works. It's a conversation starter, if anything. But yeah, it was about standing out and just being eccentric and vibrant with it.
All right. And with the growing popularity of social media, we've noticed that you've managed to capitalize on this market by offering a service called Blue to your clients to boost the following of their personal social media platforms as well as their businesses. Like, how does this service work?
So Blue was ironically the answer for small businesses who aren't able to afford or necessarily want to delve into having a third-party agency work on their social media. It's ironic as an agency owner to say, but there are businesses that have stages where having, you know, someone outside of their own doors is a bad idea for their social media presence. And sometimes I sit with people who I think are potential clients, and I end up saying to them, you know, you're not ready for this, whether, you know, it's affordability or timing or just the fact that it would be easier for them to keep, you know, the delegation in their own, you know, under their own roof for the time being. Blue is just its own social media management software that me and my friend John George, who's my business partner in Blue, worked on together, and it'll allow businesses to schedule and manage and strategize all of their social media posts, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, whatever they need. And overall, it's, you know, the answer of, hey, if you're not ready for a social media agency, here's software that you can use to do this on your own. You log into the Blue platform, it'll help you, you know, strategize when to post things. You know, we have integrations so you can develop and create your own content right in it, analytics. So it's a really powerful tool, and I really recommend it for any business that isn't ready to take the leap to full-time social media management and get started, you know, just on it themselves with a program that's, you know, $1 a day. So, you know, low cost, easy to use. It'll allow any business to at least get ahead on their social media management in general.
Wow. All right.
So the success of Social Loca continues to grow each year.
God, I hope so. I hope so.
I think you're doing fairly well. What advice can you give other entrepreneurs to help them gain success in their business journey?
Just be yourself. I wish I gave up on trying to be cool in someone else years and years ago. The day I graduated high school and I stopped giving a damn what people thought of me was it was the best decision I've ever made, and it was the only decision that has led to my life becoming better and I'm more happier every day. And that sounds so corny and cheesy, it really does. I get that. It just sounds like those silly motivational videos on Facebook, but it's so true. I shouldn't have tried to be cool. I shouldn't have let what all these other people who were struggling with their identities at the time too depict what I thought and said. The less I gave a care about any of it, and the more I just did my own thing, the more I found real supporters and real people who wanted to back what I was doing. And it's grown into, you know, me harnessing that for my own company. So really, it sounds, you know, off topic from business and what you do as a business, but just being yourself is the number one thing, because if you're not happy with yourself at the end of the day, how the heck are you ever going to wake up and run a company?
Right.
You know, why are people Absolutely. Supposed to believe you at that point?
Right. No, I think as an entrepreneur too, you have to believe in yourself, and there's so many people that are going to tell you why you can't do it when you have to be the person to be like, screw off, I'm doing it anyway, and look at you now. You know what I mean?
The best thing I've ever been told is just how dumb, an idea I've had is, because it's never driven me more to prove things wrong. And then ironically, once you prove those notions wrong, they're not saying it anymore. So there's no, there's no justification. There's no reward. There's no, ha ha, I told you so. You just get over it and you think, well, screw that. I'm just going to keep going. And just, ironically, that has driven me a lot. Whether it's the best intentions or not, I think it's definitely part of it for every entrepreneur to some extent.
Absolutely, I agree. I mean, it's definitely hard, but that's what takes you aside from the other people that try to pursue businesses and fail because they care more about what people think.
Yeah. And it's tough not to. It's really, really tough.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's human nature, but yeah. At the same time, you have to have that thick skin in yeah, order to be successful.
At least to some extent. And it's not something I've even fully developed. I wake up every day, and right now I'm like going through this period of my life where if I need to level up or I need to evolve in any sense, it's with being able to better understand people that aren't like me. And it sounds so ridiculous, but if I'm ever going to really make it, I can't just bank that every friend, every trustworthy person, every client, every subscriber is going to be loud and it's eccentric like me. I need to learn how to tone that down and get on the level of other people, whether I need to be more analytical or more straightforward or more to the point, you know, whatever it may be. I overall, I'm saying that just because it's so funny that, like, you know, you think you're going to get to this level eventually where you'll be like, oh, when I'm doing this, I'm going to be happy and everything's going to be fine. And it's like, as I keep progressing, I feel less and less adequate every day. And it's more so about what can I do to get better. I'm lacking here, or I'm not as good here. So it's this weird eternal battle, yeah. And that's why I think maybe I should have just, you know, done the easier route, not had to worry about all this stuff. But it is rewarding. It is really rewarding at the end of the day.
So if our listeners would like to obtain Social Locus services, where can we go to contact you?
So here, I'll spell it out. I spell it out every time. It is SOCIALOCCA.com. It's socialoca.com. And everything is right on our main website. All the information about, you know, our marketing services, and also to any listeners who aren't ready, you know, for full-fledged marketing, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's extraordinarily normal right now, especially more than ever. And I'd encourage any young entrepreneurs or you know, however fresh they are to the game, if they're looking for help, we have tons of services, our offshoot programs, TreeFrog, Blue, Inkaloo, and they're all great resources to get people started. And a lot of them are developing, you know, that they can go future-proof and be great for years and years to come. So definitely explore the rainforest, socialoca.com. Boom, got the plug in.
All right. Well, that sounds real exciting. Ryan, thanks for stopping by the Think Center and sharing your insight with Social Loca with us.
Thanks so much, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much, Ryan. Up next on the Connect calendar, be on the lookout for the next creative meetup at the Think Center. For free tickets and more information about the event, visit the Wilkes-Barre Connect Facebook page.
We're also excited to announce our first featured speaker of the Wilkes-Barre Connect Conference, Ashley Axios. Ashley is an international speaker, strategic creative, and an advocate for design's ability to break barriers and create positive social change. Learn more about Ashley and how to get tickets for the first ever Wilkes-Barre Connect Conference on our Facebook page. We look forward to seeing you in November.
The Wilkes-Barre Connect podcast is brought to you by Pepper Jam. Headquartered in downtown Wilkes-Barre, Pepper Jam is a performance marketing solutions provider, redefining its category through innovative technology and service expertise. For more information, check them out at pepperjam.com. Joining us now is business administration and marketing student from Misericordia, Eddie Okeke. Thanks for coming, Eddie.
Thanks for having me.
So earlier this year, Wilkes-Barre Connect held an innovation challenge. Can you tell us about your experience going through that?
So it's been kind of an interesting experience from my perspective, because the innovation challenge is something that came out of my interview, or like my preliminary interview with Joe to become a part of the student committee with Wilkes-Barre Connect. Like, it was something that I thought this area needed a little bit more in terms of their investment in the ideas at the high school level and both at the college level. So it's something that I brought up, and then he just ran with it after that.
Isn't that so awesome?
Yeah.
I love that about Joe. Like, you kind of just have an idea, even like about this podcast. Like, right. It was just like we all like came together as like a group, and
he liked the idea and he runs with it.
Literally ran with it. That's awesome. That's really cool.
Do you want to share with us your venture idea?
So my venture idea originally was like a kind of an online kind of bridging the gap that most people have to higher quality clothing for an affordable price, through like building not only an online stream, but also pop-up shops in going to bringing like markets to customers as opposed to expecting customers to come to market, which is like what most business models are. but kind of in both growing up a little this year and also moving forward in terms of the opportunities that I have after college, it's something that's going to be put on hold for the near future.
Yeah, that's fine. Life happens.
Yeah, right?
Seriously.
At what point in your college career did you like even decide to dabble into the idea of entrepreneurship?
Honestly, I hadn't even thought of it as a possibility for myself until Job told me that he was coming to campus and needed people to sign up. And I was like, okay, I think I got some ideas. And
so like, you just threw an idea together at like the last minute or?
Not really the last minute, but it was kind of something that I was working on as just a personal project in terms of like emptying out my closet. And like I have, like fashion has been one of my passions since I was younger, and even earlier in my college career, almost transferred out of Misericordia to pursue a degree or a 4+1 degree with SUNY Oneonta that filtered into FIT for the fifth year. But because of financial aid and my family situation, it wasn't as possible for me in reality when it was time to transfer. So I decided to stay at Misericordia and kind of take my degree and see what it's worth in the workforce after graduation.
Okay.
Is that something you're considering pursuing though down later in the road, like maybe 5-10 years from now?
Honestly, I'm not sure. I kind of go where life takes me after at this point.
Like, fair enough.
Dr. Richardson is the newest dean of the business program at Misericordia, and he's been a big mentor for me this year in terms of kind of showing me that like life only moves forward, and while hindsight is 20/20 and it's constant to learn from your mistakes, like you just got to wait until you're tapped on the shoulder one day, and that might pull you in a completely different direction. So that's kind of a perspective that I never really had until this year. And I'm just like, oh, that's seems like a way more fun way to live than like pulling out my hairs over job applications.
Stressing over where you want your future to go instead of just going with where your path's destined.
Exactly.
And honestly, like having a business degree and focusing in marketing as well, like it's literally going to open so many doors for you.
Yeah, I also have, I'm also 2 credits shy of a minor in psychology on top of all.
Oh, that's great.
Wow, all right.
Anything else? No.
I tapped that. No, I'm joking.
No, but absolutely. I mean, it's going to open doors. And there's so many, like, especially with marketing too. And I mean, and business administration, you could go into any avenue, you know, any type of business. You could go into, you know, fashion, the fashion industry and work in their marketing department, you know. So it's just amazing what a business degree can really, like, what doors it can open up for you.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I would say over, like, each year in college, I had a different dream job that I wanted. Like, freshman year, I was like, oh, I can do fashion. Sophomore year, I was like, oh, I can do politics.
Oh, and God.
The result of, like, our last presidential election kind of slammed that door shut. And also, like, having another career that was on the back burner until the political climate calms down a little bit. like, D.C. is just a mess, and it's not, I don't want to be cleaning up a mess. I'd rather further progress.
Absolutely. So with your experience so far as a student and the events you've participated in, is there any advice that you would like to give to current and future students?
I would say the best advice is to stay busy while you're in college. I definitely, like, at Misericordia, I was an RA, I was a 3-season athlete, on top of having a full course load for 4 years, and being, and an internship after my second, as of my second semester junior year on campus. So, it's a lot of opportunities to fill your resume while you're in school and kind of take the most of what's there. Like, even, like, on campus, I was the intern for our dining service, and I was the first ever intern that did that job. So it's just kind of like keeping your nose up in the air and not turning down any position, because anything that you can put on your resume sets you apart from other kids that might have 1 job, 2 jobs,
right?
And you have a plethora when you graduate. That's really what you should
do. Yeah, all those opportunities are like learning experiences to help shape you and kind of maybe even help you figure out what new career you want to lean towards.
Absolutely. So just want to thank you, Eddie, for stopping by and joining us here at the Wilkes-Barre Connect podcast.
Well, thanks. I'm happy to be here, as always.
Well, that does it for episode 4 of the Wilkes-Barre Connect podcast. We want to thank Ryan Hertel, Tara Siegel, and Eddie OKK for joining us today. We'd also like to thank our sponsor, Pepper Jam, for allowing us to share with you this podcast. Make sure you tune in next time for episode 5. We're your hosts, Nick and Singa.
And Mariah Curtis.
And thanks for listening to the Wilkes-Barre Connect podcast.